Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
What makes for a great vacation? Depends on who you ask. Are you looking to get away? Or bring everyone together? Do you want to get outside and play? Or see a play at the plate? Fortunately, however you operate, I'm the destination you've been looking for. The name's Missouri, but you can call me Mo. And I have just one question. What's your MO? Come see me at visitmo.com.
All right, we lied. We actually do have a show this week, but it is going to be very early in the week. We are sneaking in a recap of the Valkyries beating the Connecticut Sun since we were there. I also was able to interview a new blogger. Actually, she's, I guess, not even called blogging anymore. She's a Substack writer covering the Valkyries. Her name is Anya Armentrout. That will be at the end of this intro here. You'll get to hear about her. She's a young writer who is trying to make her way with the Valkyries. And it was a fun conversation. So let's get this out of the way, because it is just, we just experienced this about 2 hours ago. The Valkyries kind of whooped on the Connecticut Sun, albeit no Marina Mabry. But other than that, it was pretty much full. Just ran through them full bore, and fun to watch. Maybe not if you were a Connecticut Sun fan, but I think the Valkyries have proven, like, if you are an average to below average team, they're going to kind of take it to you. And if you're a good team, they're going to give you all that they have. Back-to-back games, beating the Fever, and really hounding Caitlin Clark to one of her worst games. And she also did not play well today. Shoot well, I should say. And Fever won, lost two in a row. But Valkyries just blew out the Sun, had a good victory over the Fever. What did you think of the game today since we were there?
I thought that it was, I think it's just, you know, they beat Indiana the game before, but when they lost to Dallas, it was like, oh, maybe, you know, it made sense. They couldn't get it done without the Eurobasket players, and maybe they're going to start to fall off a little bit. And then you have the Indiana win. And then I think after the Indiana win, I was like, okay, well, you know, expectations might be rising here. Like, if they're for real, like, it's, I think they got to whoop Connecticut, and they did it. I think I've been on this podcast many a time saying that I think they're only going to win 3 games this season. I think they're going to lose to X team. I think they're going to lose to the Fever, I said last podcast before they played, like an hour before they played. And so I've kind of been one of the people who just haven't been able to get on board and believe that this actually might be a really good team here. And apologies it took so long, but I think we are here. I think just kind of doing what you're supposed to do against a bad team and you think you're a good team, like, I think that's kind of where that's where we are now. And, you know, I think they're sixth in the standings right now. And they look like, by all means, that they deserve to be there. It's exciting to think about the players that are getting back from Eurobasket, and how this will look once all the rotations are set and there's no more moving pieces.
All right, we'll get to the game in a second, but Lynx 12-1, Liberty 10-3. They lost to the Storm today. Mercury 11-4, Atlanta Dream 10-4, Seattle Storm 9-5. Valkyrie 7-6, Aces and Fever at 6-7, Mystics at 6-8, Sparks 4-10, Sky 3-10, Wings 3-12, Connecticut 2-12. As we know, the top 8 make the playoffs. And we were talking about this a couple of shows ago, like how ridiculous would it be if they made the playoffs in their first year, in the expansion year? And then you said something like, oh, yeah, and then you just get whooped on by the Lynx. But if they're in sixth, maybe it's not the Lynx. It's, maybe it is Atlanta or Phoenix or the Storm, who they've already proven that they could beat. So the further up they kind of climb in the rankings, you know, maybe there is a little bit more of a competitive, at least expected competitive series. But, you know, even thinking about the playoffs with still 30 some odd games to go is kind of silly. But it's just kind of funny how we're looking at this team going like, man, you know, they are playing well. They lost the most players to Eurobasket. They will get those players back at some point. And their chemistry is off the charts, which we saw in person today. I don't know if you caught this, but maybe my favorite thing of the game today. So they're doing the intros. Tip Hayes has a dance for everybody in the starting lineup. She is actually in the starting lineup herself, but she is not sitting on the bench waiting to get her name announced. She is greeting every player in the starting lineup with their own personalized handshake, dance, whatever. And, you know, thankfully for Stephanie Talbot, I think it was just a what did she do? They did like a, I don't know what they did. They did some sort of pose. Something or something. Easy. Yeah, but it was very cool, and it just showed you the chemistry and the camaraderie and the joy that they all have. Like, the bench is going crazy for every foul, every bucket, every assist. And it might be a little, I don't know, early season, first year Valkyries, the fans are really excited. There is something to that camaraderie and chemistry and just fandom that they have for each other that seems real. Like, it does seem real when you watch it on the court.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can speak for everyone here, but I enjoy it when teammates, the team I'm rooting for, the teammates are friends, like outside of the court, like Steph and Draymond and Clay, like they're all buddies. Sure, they didn't hang out all the time, but it seems like Steph and Dre are, Clay was kind of a lone wolf and Steph and Dre would hang out, but that I feel like that's kind of what I've wanted, what I wanted to see with like Kuminga and Moody on the Warriors side, that I feel like, you know, they didn't see them off the court too much. But I've heard that this Valkyries team just hangs out with each other all the time. And it kind of makes sense from, you know, a perspective of they're all new to the area. And this is an expansion team. There's no one here who's had a longstanding, you know, reputation in the Bay Area. Everyone kind of comes in with a fresh start here. So I think maybe specifically for this iteration of the Valkyries, like, it makes sense that they're that tight just because they don't know anyone else out here, or for the most part they don't have a solid group down here yet, so they're all just kind of bonding together. Whereas on the Warriors side, you know, you get these rookies that come in like Kuminga and Moody, and it's like, oh well, Steph's been here forever, he has a family, he's, you know, raising kids here, and Draymond same thing, like, you know, we're kind of on our own a little bit. But for this team, like, again, just haven't been in this area and they hang out all the time, so it's definitely fun to watch and root for on the fan side.
Let's look at the box score here. So the Valkyries, everybody is a positive except for Chloe Bibby and Kate Martin were the only minuses in the plus minus.
Really?
Yeah. Chloe Bibby was a -6 and Kate Martin was a -5. I'm gonna guess a lot of that came in the fourth quarter. Yeah, where Connecticut outscored the Valkyries. The Valkyries only scored 28 points in the second half. The Sun actually outscored the Valkyries in the second half, 31-28. But the Valkyries outscored them in the second quarter, 36-12, which wow. They just ran away with the game in the second quarter. But I'm sure you would guess the biggest in plus minus is Kayla Thornton. She was a +31, and she only played 22 minutes. And Stephanie Talbot, +26. The best plus minus on the bench is none other than Caitlin Chen, who scored her first bucket, ended up with 5 points in 21 minutes, and she took all of Carla Late's minutes, which I think he tweeted something about Natalie Nicasse, what she said about it.
She just said, some of the beat writers reported that she just said she wanted to give Chen an opportunity, and so Carla was completely DMP'd. It was just didn't, I don't know. I don't know if I buy that. I feel like there's something else going on. Not, and I, you know, I don't want to hope, you know, not hope's not the right word, but just like anticipate anything, you know, too bad from Carlos' side. But I told you we were at the game, so you can kind of see some of the interactions that they might not show on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all doing layup lines, and Carla wasn't there, but you had mentioned that she was there earlier,
yeah,
maybe on her own doing some workouts. But, it, you know, you expect kind of everyone to be there in layup lines at least.
They did some shooting. We were there about a half an hour early. So they did shooting. They went back to the locker room, came out, and then they did more warm-up before the start of the game. She was there shooting in the first warm-up that we saw. She was not in the second.
So is just we are we to expect that Natalie pulled her aside and was like, hey, you're not playing today, giving Chen the opportunity? Like, and so, you know, Carla comes out of the locker room and seems like she gives it was definitely Tip Hayes, and I forget who else. Maybe it was Kayla. They kind of like give her like a hug of, and it looked like the type, I don't know, the type of hug that you're like, I feel for you a little bit.
Yeah,
so I,
yeah, like it'll be okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I just still am like, they were up by like 20 very early. Like you're telling me, you know, Caitlin Chen started the second quarter, but you're telling me there was just no Carla minutes like at all. Like, I don't know. I was a little confused by that decision, mm-hmm, even if it is true in terms of like just give her an opportunity. Like Carla's going to be here. Yes. And I guess that could be an argument, you know, Carla's going to be here, so you're fine. You know, this is Caitlin, but like everyone else played. And Carla's right, your rookie who you want to develop. You know, you want her to get minutes because not only is she going to potentially be here after all the Eurobasket players come back, but also for the future, she's on a rookie skill contract. So I would just think that you'd want to give her minutes, even as well as giving Caitlin Chen the opportunity. So we'll see how that plays out. You know, I think they play New York on Wednesday or something, mm-hmm, like that. So, I know that's probably a team that they don't anticipate some of these players getting minutes, where that, you know, Caitlin Chen and Bree Hall and
who also Ariel got Powers, her first WNBA bucket tonight.
Yep. So I am interested to see how the rotation looks for that game. I guess that will kind of answer our questions, right? If Carla's back in her normal spot, it's like, okay, I guess that was just a one-off. But if not, then that's going to raise questions.
I saw that Sabrina did not play today. We know Jonquel Jones is out. I guess she was just, Sabrina was out for neck tightness after the cross-country flight from Friday. So that's got to suck, just to, you know, twist your neck on a flight or whatever. I would imagine she's going to be there for Wednesday's game, but they will be without Jonquel Jones. So that's a big player. We know the second time that they played the Liberty, Jones was out, and they actually played them very closely until the very end. So that will be helpful for them. And they're at home. They have that home energy. By the way, I'm not predicting that they're going to beat the 10-3 Liberty, but I do now. We talked about this earlier, because you'll hear this in the conversation that I have with Anya. The expectations are kind of higher now, where earlier in the season, we're just like, oh, we just want them to be entertaining and we want them to be competitive. And now it's like, I kind of want them to win. And so I think the expectations for them to play against some of these really good teams are higher than they would have been earlier in the season, especially now that they have a winning record right now. So that is really cool. And I look forward to that game on Wednesday. And
I don't know if you can, you know, I'm not going to be the one to rule them out because they keep proving me wrong. But I imagine if Sabrina is like 80%, I've got to imagine she gives it a go just because it's her first game playing in that area where she grew up. I imagine she's going to have like an entire section of tickets to give to loved ones for her. And but I'm not going to rule it out just because I think they've only lost two games at home. I think it was the home opener against the Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was that Minnesota game that I went to. Other than that, they've, you know, beaten the Aces, beaten Seattle, beaten Indiana. It's like, I don't know, maybe there is. And like you said, without Jonquel, they were able to make it a game. And also they will be without Leone Fibich, who's in Eurobasket. And Niara Sabali's back for them, Satu's sister. And she had a good little final stint, which almost I feel like is the reason they protected her over Kayla Thornton, just because in that last overtime, she played well. So, not going to rule it out. I think there's definitely an opportunity, but I imagine Sabrina's going to want to go for 40.
Yeah, she's gonna want to pull from deep. All right, so I guess last thing, since we were there live, we should talk a little bit about the energy and the crowd and how fun it is. And, you know, we've been to Warriors games, and, you know, their Warriors fans are always going to get up for big Steph shots, big Clay shots. But Warriors fans just sort of expect the team to just be good and play well, and they don't really get too fired up until things get tight or, you know, they need Steph to go night-night on somebody. I was very happy to see the crowd pretty much from tip-off to just be up on their feet. We had our Juneteenth rally towels, which are really cool, the purple rally towels. And it's just that was just a fun place to be tonight at the game. The MC, the woman who's the MC, she does a fantastic job. Though there were moments where she was like, the game's not over yet, as the Valkyries are up by like 25. And I'm like, you know, the other team can hear you. Like the sun can hear you, Miss MC. But she was great. She had great energy. There was vibing all around the arena. There's dancing. Those people, not to say that the audience, you know, the different crowd from the Warriors, it's going to be a little different. Obviously, the Warriors are a little bit of a higher caliber ticket. But man, that was a lot of fun. I would love to go back at some point this season.
Yeah, I think everyone's been saying, and I've been saying it since I've been going to the preseason stuff, it kind of reminds you of Oracle. Just not only is there more diversity in the crowd, which is, it feels more Oracle-y now that we got Chase, just have all the business tech execs covering out the first couple rows. Hashtag, we don't want to see your Patagonia. But now it's a fun environment. Like I said, it feels like wholesome. It just, everyone's cheering for everything. If you give a little bit of effort on the camera, you're going to get cheered out of the building. But yeah, I have no notes for the in-arena staff. I have no notes for the marketing team. I feel like kind of all across the board, they're doing everything right. I think the only issue we kind of have is with the KPIX team of just how the broadcast looks sometimes. We have no notes really for, you know, the broadcasters themselves, besides maybe a Yotsite pronunciation here and there. But yeah, everything's been
A-plus. Yuste Yosite. I think that's how Jacob Toby pronounced it. So what you mentioned, the big screen looks to inherit the KPIX broadcast. So the colors were all funky, and
that felt like a one-off. I swear, I don't remember it being like that. But then again, that Sun jersey is probably the most vibrant out of the jerseys that I've gone to watch a game for. Because for those who were in arena, the Connecticut Sun jerseys are orange, and they looked like a bright, like infrared red. I guess it was like a meme back in the day when you used to like deep fry a photo. An example of that is like look at Kawhi's photo in like 2014 that he posted on Twitter when he went to the White House and met Obama. He just did what they call deep frying it. And it's just like the reds just go, like you just turn the reds all the way up. And that's kind of what that what it looked like with those Connecticut Sun orange jerseys just looked bright red. Everyone's blemishes on their face looked bright red. It was did not look good, but I don't remember it looking like that for all the other games I've went to. So that was interesting.
We also put up some Instagram reels and some YouTube shorts of Bree Hall's very first WNBA bucket. So you can check that out on YouTube and Instagram. And that's it from here. But let's go to our interview with Anya Armantrout, who joined me earlier to just talk about her blog, her Substack, and her fandom for the Valkyries.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
I can't wait to meet her. Oh my gosh.
Put your hands together for new Dr. Pepper Blackberry and Dr. Pepper Blackberry Zero Sugar.
There she is! Old Dr. Pepper!
With sweet blackberry flavor!
Dr. Pepper Blackberry, I'm obsessed with your succulent taste! Please marry me!
No! Marry me! Marry me, or I'm gonna freak out!
Try new Dr. Pepper Blackberry!
It's a pepper thing!
At Care Heating and Cooling, we put you first. You are the reason we're open 7 days a week and why it's easy to schedule service at careheatingandcooling.com. Your safety is why we check every gas furnace for carbon monoxide. And it's because of you that our techs are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. So it's no surprise that last year, CARE was awarded a BBB Torch Award for Ethics, because at CARE, we're committed to doing business right. Call CARE at 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust.
We are here with Anya Armantrout, who has a blog slash Substack covering the Valkyries daily. Anya, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I'm so happy to be here, and it's such a great team to cover. They're always doing something new. There's always a new lineup to talk about, always a new strat, you know, a team that rotates through so many players. It's just a blast to talk about. And they've been so impressive their first season. I know I was like, ooh, how are they going to do? But blown it out of the waters for, I think, everybody's expectations, except for head coach. She knew.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about what it's like to cover the team day to day. I know this is part of your career or aspiring career in journalism. But the idea, like, did you just go, oh, like, I like basketball. The Valkyries are here. Like, I just kind of want to try this out. Like, what was the inspiration to create the Substack?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of that. I do writing for my school paper. I'm the sports editor there. But that we don't really do the kind of like game by game, day to day covering a team like that. We don't do the beat writing. And I really wanted a chance to start working on that. And I was also so excited about getting a WNBA team. I love basketball. I love women's basketball. And the Bay feels like the perfect place for it. You know, like, we've been like screaming for a team here for so long. And I thought this would be a great chance to really get in on this team and watch them really closely and write about them and start getting out more content, because they're a young team. You know, they don't have as many blogs going on. You know, we have fantastic coverage from Marissa Ngemi of the Chronicle, not a lot of like, yeah, she's doing such great stuff, but not as much like really consistent reporting. So I see there's kind of a space for it, and it's been so fun to see how they're doing and to watch them play.
It's literally the reason that we have this podcast, for the same thing. We thought, hey, you know, we cover the Warriors, which I know on your I've seen in different profiles where you have, there's a Draymond Green mentioned in some of your profiles, the Warriors, the 49ers, the Giants. So we cover Bay Area sports. And when we heard the Valkyries were definitely coming, we thought, okay, this would be awesome to kind of tell the origin story of the team. And it's been a blast. Like, they are so fun to talk about, and I imagine they're so fun to write about. But let's go backwards a little bit. I'm interested in the basketball fandom. Where does the basketball fandom come from? Like, how did you get inspired or to follow basketball so closely?
I mean, growing up in SF, like from the area where you got the Warriors dynasty, just the one, you know, you love the Warriors. You just know, like, we've got the best team when you're a kid. But I only started really following basketball closely in college. I go to a tiny liberal arts college. And so I was like, so you're able to just watch all of the games. And I started watching games and really enjoying just going, and we're not fantastic at basketball. You know, it's a small school. You know, they're all student athletes, but just getting to watch the game and see the beauty of the game and really want to try to capture that with writing and capture like what's going on and how cool playing can be. And especially like the WNBA, just so inspiring with getting women to the forefront of what we're talking about and seeing women in such successful positions and playing such a fun game.
How closely were you, like, were you part of the Caitlin Clark wave of college basketball, or were you following college hoops, women's college hoops before then? Like, where did your like fandom crescendo? Because I can say, when I was younger, now this is, if I'm doing the math, maybe even before you were born, I went to San Jose State, and in the late 90s, so this is pre-WNBA, or maybe it's like right around the same time that the WNBA started, there was a second league called the ABL, and Joe Lacob owned the San Jose team. So they actually played on campus. And you know AZ Fudd, the player from Connecticut. She is named after a player who had played at Stanford and was like the premier player on the San Jose team, the San Jose Lasers. Her name was Jennifer Azee, played at Stanford on the, I think, the 96 Olympic team, that famous team. And so I had like literally walked by her because she was practicing and I was on campus. I had walked by her and I kind of froze. I wanted to say like, oh, I know who you are. I've been following you from your Stanford days, but I kind of froze and didn't say that. But so that, like that, I wouldn't say I was following closely, but like I have so many memories of going back to those days because the Stanford teams in the Bay Area were so good. And we even had a little, you know, we even had up until recently where Stanford was still very relevant in women's college hoops. But I will say that my up and down fandom, I really, once the, you know, the Caitlin stuff happened in college hoops, I was like, wow, like there is so much opportunity here for women's college basketball to just really take a leap. And so I started paying attention, and my son, who's also part of this podcast, Brian, he started to really pay close attention, and he started watching so many games. And he actually, I think I would say he probably watched as much Valkyries basketball so far as he would the Warriors, because we also do a Warriors podcast. So he's just as in tuned, and I'm catching up. So my fandom goes back far, but not until really the Caitlin stuff did I was like, okay, I need to follow this day to day. I need to know all the stories. I need to learn all the players. And that's why this has been fun, because I didn't know who Kayla Thornton was last year. And now I watch her play and I'm like, man, I need to figure out, you know, where she came from and all these different things. So like, where did you see like everything start crescendoing yourself?
I think it was getting this Falcs team and having like a team to really root for and to really care about. I'm still not like the most into college basketball. There's so many teams, it's like almost like overwhelming for me to really lock down on one, to really have a fandom on. But, you know, seeing that we're having a team in the Bay and having like a team that I can really focus on and get to know, and it's all of these players, like there's not one star specific. I mean, Thornton is coming out as like that, the big lead on the box score, but it's, they really play a huge like community game. They're passing around. I thought it was like so interesting, like the last game, like 8 players who put down points, like the biggest gap was like 8 and 16 mm-hmm. between the 2 players. Yeah, so having a team that I can really like care about and get into and watch all of their games and watch them closely, I think that really like as you're saying, that kind of crescendo of really starting to care and really see how amazing it can be and how much you can learn just from following it really quickly, really closely. Yeah,
your last piece was about the Valkyries beating the Fever and how you thought it was like a Stop Caitlin Clark 101 like blueprint. What stood out about how they played Caitlin Clark to you?
I thought it was such because you've seen them like try to work on stars before and to great success with some, like with Aja Wilson, they had Burton doing a lot of that. And then you saw like against the Sparks with Kelsey Plum, they didn't really focus as much on the stars. They locked down the rest of the defense. And then against Paige Beckers in the last game, they couldn't really get her down. They couldn't figure out how to defend her. The defense on Caitlin Clark, they were playing man on man, but they were switching it around so much. Like there wasn't one consistent defender for Clark to get comfortable with, to figure out how to score around, to really get a rhythm around. They were moving it around. They were keeping her so tied up. and to so much success. Like this, I think this is the second game that she hasn't hit any threes. And preseason, this would probably have been like a schedule loss, you know, if anybody was looking at it.
Oh yeah.
But the Valkyries like love to defy those expectations. And even then we see not just that like community rotating around Clark, but the rotating around who's making the shots, getting every, like they, the bench outscored the starters. You saw Chloe Bibby, her first WNBA game ever, and she put down 12 points, was it? Like really getting in there and everybody having a part in participating as such a great way to counter a team that is such a big star, is to say, you have a big star, we have an incredible full roster. And right. That can be.
Yeah. You know, Caitlin and Aaliyah Boston, you know, they have great chemistry together. And I kind of was wondering as the game was going on. So Brian and I were talking about how the Dallas game to the Valkyries could have been seen as a little bit of a trap game because Dallas is one of the least winning teams in the league, though they have some nice pieces. Like it was amazing watching Paige Bueckers play. But at the same time, you're kind of looking forward knowing that Caitlin is coming into your building and the hoopla surrounding it. She's the biggest star in the league right now. And so I kind of then wondered, well, if you're Indiana coming off of being clinching the spot in the Commissioner's Cup, there's a little bit of a letdown from that. And there's a little bit of a letdown from the hoopla of the scuffle. I don't know what we can call it with Connecticut. And like there was a crazy amount of media around there. So just kind of coming off of that, I thought, you know, this is a real good opportunity for the Valkyries to take advantage because, you know, Caitlin's human. Her team is human. They're dealing with a lot of attention that is necessarily not basketball related. And it just seems like that bulldog mentality that Natalie Nakase has as a coach, her spirit really comes out on the court in her players. And when I saw Kayla, who is quite a bit bigger than Caitlin, but maybe from a foot speed perspective, probably can hang with Caitlin. When I saw her go, okay, like I'm guarding this woman once she crosses half court, I was like, oh man, this is like, they really feel like they can win this basketball game. And they went out and they did it, even though, you know, it took quite a run there to do it. But so the idea that, you know, that they have this week and, you know, they're playing so good and then they have the little fallback game against Dallas. Does this change your expectations? Like, are you watching this team and actively thinking they're like a 500 team or better? Or do you kind of set the expectation of like they're still an expansion team and they're outplaying expectations? So I have to be realistic. Like when you're covering it, how are you thinking about these basketball games?
Yeah, I mean, my expectations just keep being raised with every game. I think this one really like showed how well they can do. But I think like I try to cover them with, I think, the same expectation that Coach Nakase has, which is that it doesn't matter if they're an expansion team. It doesn't matter that like this is the first time a lot of these players are getting like the biggest minutes they've ever played. Like this is a team that can win and this is a team that should be winning, you know, with every game, like they go in and they prove that they can compete. And it's about riding them with those high expectations. And I think Coach Nakase is coaching them to those high expectations. And that's why they're doing so well. Like you talk about how she's got that spirit, that fighting spirit, but she's also playing them so smart, you know, like they're undersized in a lot of ways. They're mm-hmm. much smaller. You know, you saw a lot of like matchups where they look really a teensy team, but they're playing without positions. They're playing really smart. They've got these like genius defenses that are changing up all the time. You know, like I'm not sure about going as hard on threes as they go. that's something that I'm like, guys, like get into the paint. Like you do so much better in the paint.
Yeah.
But they really like they play smart and they prove like they nearly upset the Liberty there. You know, they played really strong against the Lynx. Like they have mm-hmm. this potential. And I think riding them and holding them to the potential that they can have and keeping the expectations high. And you know, as a writer, like it's even a little fun when they don't meet it. You know, it would be boring to write about a team that wins every game, even if I would love to be that fan. you know, keeping the expectations high, seeing what they can be, you know. I don't think they're an expansion team that is going in with the, we're trying, they're not tanking, you know, and a lot of expansion teams try to get by, you know, building up the roster in a few years, but that's not what they're doing. And that's what I love to see. You know, that's what I love to see in any basketball at all. The NBA has such like that tanking issue. And it's so nice to see players try and try to really be the best they can be. And it's such a reward to the fans out in Valhalla, which is also a term I have viewed, but I think that's the corniest name ever. But, you know, I think they're doing well, and I think they're holding high expectations, and we can too.
Yeah, no, it's great. As you are, you know, writing this, is the Substack and just keeping it up, like, it is a passionate hobby for you. It's not like, you know, this is something where you're getting paid to do it, or you're, you know, someone is asking you to do it. Like, it is out of passion and it is out of your own personal enjoyment. When you think about this as a pat, like, are you also thinking of it as like, hey, you know, maybe down the line, this is something that I might be interested in doing? Or is this really just like a passionate side hobby for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think of it as kind of like, this has kind of been a test to see how much I enjoy really writing in this consistent way. And I really do. It's been a blast. It's something I'd love to do professionally. And to, even if it's not that, to keep getting these reps in of writing. I was talking to Sloane Martin, who's the Lynx play-by-play commentator. And she was talking about like doing a blog like this, getting the reps in of writing and just improving. Like, that's part of it for me, is to just really get a lot of stories out and get practicing, because it's something that's so enjoyable and that I've really grown to love and a passionate hobby. And, you know, if you can do what you love and be paid for it, that's also great. Even if the sports media world is looking a little bleaker at times.
Right. And I just put the link to your Substack for people watching on video. Substack.com/@ Anya, A-N-Y-A, Armin Trout, A-R-M-E-N-T-R-O, or T-R-O-U-T. So you can find all of the work there. So as we go through the rest of this season, we're going to hit the All-Star break, and there's Eurobasket going on right now. So the Valkyries are without some players, as are some other teams. But I think this hits the Valkyries more than any team because of how they put their roster together. Do you see, like, what do you see for the future, not only of this season, but of kind of the WNBA? There's going to be they opted out of their deal, so they're going to have to renegotiate with the WNBA, the Players Association, to get the value that they believe that they deserve. Forecasting, you know, kind of the rest of the season and into the next couple years with a couple expansion teams, like, what do you see for not only the Valkyries, but the league itself? Are we looking at a tremendous growth opportunity where the WNBA kind of slides in, you know, maybe into, like, I don't even know how you can rank sports, but, you know, the NFL is obviously the biggest. The NBA is right there. Major League Baseball, NHL. Then you have some outside ones like the UFC. Obviously, in the U.S., soccer is not as big as it is worldwide, but worldwide, there's soccer. Like, is the WNBA kind of sneaking into this conversation of some of the bigger sports out there?
Yeah, I think it definitely is. As we're looking at the future and looking at that new collective bargaining agreement, I think the WNBA in some ways is already almost bigger than it's perceived. I saw like a wonderful piece, and I'm forgetting the writer, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, about the amount that WNBA players are getting paid as compared to the revenue they're bringing in to the NBA, and they're being shortcut. You know, the NBA has both of these organizations, and the WNBA is getting less money than it's giving the amount of views it brings. I think this new collective bargaining agreement and compensating the players for the money they're earning and the views they're bringing is going to be key to also recognizing these women as professionals and as accomplished athletes. As you see, like, the pay scale and the pay ratio is absurd, and it's not accurate to the amount of money and views that the different leagues are bringing in. Yeah, and I think with the coming to expansion teams, I think just bringing the league bigger, bringing the league to more eyes, like getting a WNBA team in the Bay, just for me personally as someone who's already a basketball fan, totally blew up my fandom and totally got me into it so much more. I think having a team to root for does a ton to expand eyes. You know, you get a whole new city who, once you have somebody to root for, once you have like, hey, that's my team, suddenly you care about the whole thing so much more. And that expansion, and hopefully seeing expansion teams that are really financially stable and really able to get that market around that, will be really great to see, to bring the league more success and the success it deserves. You know, women's basketball has been around for a long time. If you look into like the history, like when basketball was first invented in like the 1800s, it was so much more popular with women than with men, which is a fact not many people know, but it was really immediately popular with women. And it was shut down because people were worried that women were playing too physically. But we've got a time for this to rebirth and for it to blow up some more, and to have a lot of young people and younger women see that this is something that they can be great at. You know, I saw the WNBA just had a new kind of promotion, which was kind of a small thing, but I think very representational of adding and drawing in the WNBA three-point line to just pick up basketball spots in different parks, you know, making the WNBA and women playing basketball something that's normal and something that can be casual and something that's everywhere. I think Caitlin Clark has done a lot to bring eyes to the fandom, and I think a lot of people have turned their eyes because of Caitlin Clark and are saying, hey, this is a great place to watch games. This is a great league. You know, it's more than just one player. And every player in the league is doing amazing things and playing an amazing game.
I am still reading a book called Shattering the Glass, The Remarkable History of Women's Basketball. And it says some of the things that you just mentioned with how they would dress and whether or not it was too masculine and whether or not the rules were too physical, and they created separate rules for women's basketball versus the men's game because of these different notions. And the evolution of the players and the game is amazing to read. It's a little bit textbooky, so it's not like this nice and easy read, but that would be a book that I would tell people who are watching and listening to this to check out. It's about 20 years old, so it's not up to kind of current time frame, but it gives you a really good history of women's basketball. So I wanted to ask you, as we get to the end of this, as a younger creator, as a younger journalist, you've grown up with certain things that have just been there for you. Like, are there any creative things that leagues can do to attract younger people who maybe, you know, grew up with phones and devices and different screens and such, whose kind of day-to-day habits are different than the people who are actually putting this content together and creating these leagues? Like, what do you see as a young fan that you think could be helpful to your fandom that some of these leagues aren't doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think something a lot of leagues are doing is having that strong social media presence, having you be able to connect with players, I think is a big one that I think a lot of teams are doing, and I think to keep that up. But I think a big one, and I think something that I think every generation is kind of seeing as they're trying to watch and be a fan of these teams, is it's really hard to watch games nowadays. It's really hard to figure out where you can stream it, you know, what channel, what platform, what's blacked out, like locally, you know, like being your own way. Like, I have like the WNBA League Pass, and I don't think I've ever been able to watch a game with it, you know? Like, I don't think, like, it's every time I go and it's like, oh, you have to go somewhere else. Oh, this one isn't. I'm like, why did I buy this?
Right.
You know, it's really hard to access that those games, and that makes it hard to be a fan. And that's something that drives people to use illegal streaming services and sites, because they can't figure out, and it's really expensive to all get all those platforms. I think you see a lot of like young people who they don't have cable, you know, they don't have a TV, they're watching it on, and adapting towards that and finding a way that's like consistent for people to be able to watch games, because watching games and getting used to being able to watch games really drives fandom. I think that's a big one, is making sure people who want to watch the games can, and people who kind of want to watch the games can too. People who kind of would watch it but don't want to figure out all the technical things and get this subscription, all of this, and then figuring it out, making it accessible, I think is a huge thing.
I follow this streaming industry very closely, and one of the things that I would like to see enabled, and maybe the WNBA could kind of be at the forefront of this, is we all have the WNBA app. I also have League Pass. I mostly have League Pass because, you know, I'm checking out replays when I can of games that have maybe happened. You know, I get to watch the Valkyries pretty much every single game, except for, you know, the only one I don't get is the Ion game. So if I don't have the, cause I don't have the Ion channels on my Hulu Live. So I think I can watch those through the WNBA app, but, anyways, I would love to see, like, they know that the Valkyries are my favorite team. And I could pick what teams I'm very interested in. And every morning when I wake up, I get a notification that says, here are all the teams you're interested in. Here's where, out of the services that you have, here's where you can find them. And to be very specific in that. And then in the same thing, say, but you are also a League Pass member. So this game will be available at this time. If you can't watch it live, we will have it for you at this time. Like, be very directional about it, because I think, you know, if something's on Amazon Prime and you don't have Amazon Prime, maybe the WNBA is a bit of a vehicle to get that person to subscribe to Amazon Prime, and Amazon Prime gives the WNBA a little bit of a kickback. And just like that, because we're not, you know, the WNBA has so many partners, you're not competing necessarily against Amazon Prime with League Pass. You're trying to be a little bit of a vessel to the fans so that they can make sure to see their teams in your league easier. So I wish they would do something like that. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of tech involved, and, you know, they are still a growing league, and they will add more people to do those things for them as they grow. But yeah, something like that. And I was also thinking, now this is not in my wheelhouse, but I remember, and Snapchat may not be cool anymore, whatever, I don't know. I use Instagram Reels, but I'm also old. That's easiest for me. But I was thinking, if you had channels like for teams where, let's say, after every quarter of a live game, there's like a small recap of like, oh, Valkyrie's down 23-20. Here's some of the big plays you missed. And it's just in like a 90-second reel. And then at the end of that, there's like some information about, oh, if you want to watch this game live, here's where you can go. And so you're giving the fan content, which that might be enough for fans, right? They may just want to follow the Valkyries through an Instagram feed, knowing that, you know, 5 minutes after the quarter is up, they'll get some sort of content. Or maybe they'll then go, oh yeah, I forgot the game is on. I need to go set my DVR. I need to go watch it. I would like to see a little bit more interaction that way as well. But again, like, that may only work for how my brain works with social media and not for how the younger person works today with social media. Okay, let's get to you. I know you're a Blue Sky user. Why don't you let people know how they can find you on Blue Sky? I know you're talking lots of Valkyries on Blue Sky.
Yes, on your own chat on Blue Sky too. Yeah, I just send out my articles. Sometimes I'll do some within the game commentary. If I think of anything insightful enough while they're playing, you can see my live reactions to anything crazy. Yeah, on Blue Sky, and follow me on Substack. Everything is published and free, available to read. Every game, sometimes not stuff that's on a specific game. Yeah.
So the one thing that I mentioned to Anya outside of this interview is but people who listen to this show know I'm very interested in creating community around the Valkyries. And I shot Anya a note because I'm so happy that she's writing about the Valkyries. And I said, hey, let's, you know, what do you think about doing this kind of thing? And, you know, creating a spot for Valkyries fans to come in and, you know, they can read your links and they can listen to our shows. We could also just talk about the game. So If we do something, I will have a space for Anya, because I just love that people are creating content and writing, and you have a journalism background, which is like, it puts you a little bit more on a pedestal in my mind because of how much I love journalism. But check out the Substack, substack.com at Anya Armantrout, and follow her on Blue Sky if you're interested in Valks coverage. And hey, she's an up and comer, y'all. You want to get in early on the Anya business because she's doing this for fun and maybe for real down the line. You know, she also shout out to Marissa from the Chronicle. She's doing amazing stuff. I think she's the only actual day to day beat writer on a staff. Like the Athletic does not have one. Yeah. San Francisco Standard, I don't believe, has one that goes to every game. Like, she's the one. Yeah. So
she's travels with them and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. She's been doing a tremendous job. Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks to Anya. For Brian, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.